Karen Guilfrey and Alex Lawrence met in 2011 as young artists with the Glimmerglass Festival in Cooperstown, New York. The mezzo-soprano and baritone fell in love. They were married. And now get to balance those facts with their very busy and far-flung opera careers. Alex, and this is the part, by the way. Well, first of all, welcome to the program. It's
Thank
a delight
you so
to have
much.
You both here.
Glad
Congratulations
to be here.
On marriage and success and all that stuff. So this is the part where I'm going to say... Alex is singing in the role of?
I'm singing the king, the imposter king in Verdi's King for a Day this summer at the Glimmerglass Festival.
Excellent. So you decided not to go with the Italian?
No, I didn't really have a choice.
Okay, great.
They chose to do the opera in an English translation, and it's actually wonderful that way. It's really clever.
Yes,
and
because
funny.
Well, see, this is what I have down on my sheet right there.
He
I
means your character's name,
yeah,
Belfiore.
And I didn't want
to
say any of that.
Belfiore, yes. His real name is Belfiore.
Yes.
That is his name outside of his guise as the king. But you don't know that sort of until the characters in the opera don't know that until the very end when I reveal myself as Belfiore.
And the day job is you have a contract also with the Zurich Opera in
yes,
Switzerland.
Sir. Yes.
That's very cool. Karen recently performed with the New York City Opera, and you've been all over Los Angeles, the whole works.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did it ultimately started at Glimmerglass?
Well, no, actually, as an opera singer,
for
the two of us,
yeah.
But as an opera singer, you have to train almost as much as a doctor, really. I mean, I was in school for 6 years. Alex was in school for 8 years. Training to do this, and then once you get out, you go into young artist programs. I was in the young artist program with the Los Angeles Opera. We've done the Glimmerglass Festival, the Santa Fe Opera, lots of different programs. But yeah, we met at Glimmerglass.
Mm-hmm. What is it like being in a festival? I mean, how committed are you, given that your schedules are busy, given that you're always looking for, as we were just talking to Fred about this in the acting world, you're always looking for work. So how do you figure in Glimmerglass of yes, we want to do this as long as they want to have us? Or how does that figure into your schedule?
Well, it's certainly a special thing to come back to Glimmerglass, not just because it's a wonderful company, it's a great place to work, but because we met there and we had the opportunity to be here on our wedding anniversary, which is nice. It's an extraordinary festival. Anybody would jump at the opportunity to sing at the Glimmerglass Festival. It's one of the top festivals in the world, and they always put on some extraordinary productions here. So it's always a great opportunity for a singer to further their career and have some great exposure, especially for us young singers. It's a great place to get out there. And I currently work in Zurich, as you said, and it's good for me to come back and get this kind of exposure in the U.S. At a festival like this.
But as far as working it into our schedules, I mean, Alex is part of a company in Zurich, which means that for most of the year, 9 months out of the year, he's working in one place for the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm a freelance musician, which means that I work wherever there happens to be work. And in the 3 months when Alex is off in the summer, he can do any job he wants. So he comes to the Glimmerglass Festival to work. And
well, I was lucky to have time off. Yeah. I don't always have time off in the summer. Sometimes my season extends through the summer in Switzerland. So I just got lucky.
And are you in the season this year? Are you?
I'm
doing
not.
It?
I was here two. I was with the Glimmerglass Festival 2 seasons ago, doing 2 roles in the double bill production that they did: John Musto's Later the Same Evening and Janine Tesori's A Blizzard on Marblehead Neck.
So is it? That seems to me more fun than having. Well, maybe not for you, Alex, but than having both of you work. To have one working, then you sort of have. Time to do the mundane stuff of life.
Right? Well, yeah, it has allowed for some of that, which is nice.
I actually, when I'm not singing, when I'm not in a production, I'm an audiobook narrator.
Yeah.
So while Alex is in rehearsal all day, I'm at home in my studio talking to myself all day, narrating audiobooks.
That's a great gig.
Yeah, it's a great gig. I travel with my recording setup, and I just do freelance work as an audiobook narrator.
So unabridged, and you just sort of read the pages? Is that how?
That's pretty much how it works.
That's very cool.
And I produce it myself, and then it goes to iTunes, Amazon, and Audible.com.
All of those places.
Yeah.
When you think about there's something very, I mean, obviously opera is romantic just in its very nature, when there isn't death. But
there always is. Even when there is death, sometimes it's romantic.
Let's say the early parts of opera, it's very romantic, but still there's a romanticism to it. And then for the two of you to be involved in this profession, and then to meet in the course of a production, that's just a lovely story.
It really is. Yeah. And, you know, we met and we fell in love almost instantly the way that you do in opera, really. Within a week, we thought.
with subtitles?
Really? Yeah, yes. With subtitles. But within a week, we were like, wow, this is going to be a really important relationship in both of our lives. And we got engaged only a few months after we met. We've been married now for a while, a year.
Is it?
A long time.
A long time, a year. Is it? Is that common in the opera world? Do you find a lot of husband wife combinations?
You find some. It's certainly. I think that the communal nature of working on a show and the intensity of the relationships you build. Working on a production with somebody, which is very emotionally raw, and you know, you spend a lot of time together, a lot of grueling hours on stage practicing and singing for each other. It certainly encourages romance for a lot of people, and a lot of people fall into that situation. But for others, you know, it's not for them.
Some singers say that they will not date other singers.
Yeah.
They make a rule of it because it's just too close to home.
It can be close to home. There's egos involved, and sometimes, you know, the travel schedules make it so that you never see the person. So there's a lot of obstacles.
Shirley MacLaine once told me that you either, when you're on a set and you're doing that kind of work, it's and of course this is acting, not opera, but you know, you either smoke, drink, or fall in love. And maybe all three. But
Well, you can't smoke when you're an opera singer.
No,
certainly
you can. Yeah,
it's
not so,
it's harder.
Probably not so good.
But because there's a lot of downtime, right? I mean, there's also you're working, but then there's also that time where that communal time where you're all together backstage waiting for something else to
and
work out.
Yep. The way the schedule works, you typically rehearse about 3 or 4 weeks, and then you have 2 or 3 weeks of shows, and you don't do a show every night in opera because. Opera singing is really kind of like the Olympic gymnastics of singing. It takes a lot of effort, and so you can't do it every single night the way you do in a Broadway show. So you typically have 2 or 3 days off in between where you have nothing to do. So you hang out with your colleagues, you see the town, you relax, mm-hmm. and then you do a show a few days later.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you look at the opportunities that are out there, is opera a vibrant world? I mean, are you optimistic? Are there lots of parts for you?
Well, there's, I think opera in general faces certain challenges, accessibility challenges that some other forms of performance art do not face. There's the language barrier. There's the fact that it's a very, I don't want to, well, it's antiquated, but it certainly is relevant in today's society once people get to know it. But it's hard to get into. It takes a lot of warming up to.
But I also think opera is very misunderstood.
Yes, it's absolutely misunderstood.
I think that it's so exciting to see people singing, you know, the most extreme things you could possibly imagine the human voice doing, mm-hmm. and stories that are also, you know, just as extreme, and the orchestra that is just so loud and beautiful and wonderful. And I think it's really important for people to go to the opera.
Yeah.
I think that you can learn a lot just by being there.
Yeah, and Glimmerglass, under Francesca Zambello, the new artistic and general director, really makes a great effort to stress how relevant opera can be in presenting productions that have a modern spin on them, that are relevant to the current news, that are vibrant and energetic. And this, in the case of King for a Day, which I'm performing in, it's in English, so she hopes that the comedy will come across more to the local audience. And it's things like that, the efforts like what Ms. Zambello makes, that really, I think, are helping bring audience to our generation more with greater success.
So my question, it was about, you know, you feel, so you're in a company, so you have there's stability there.
Mm-hmm.
You have another job, so there's stability there. So if I'm your parents, I'm not worried about you.
Well, my father's actually an opera singer.
Oh, there you go.
So, a very
famous opera
singer. He's pretty well known. His name is Rod Guilfrey. And when we met, actually, he was singing Frank Butler in Annie Get Your Gun with Debbie Voigt, the famous Wagnerian soprano. And she was wonderful, and he was wonderful. It was great. But I think my family understands what it is to be an opera singer. My mother understands what it's like to be married to an opera singer. So I have had a lot of practice. I don't think Alex could have found a better wife.
I quite agree.
Indeed, I agree.
I want to follow up with this story in 5 years. I hope you don't mind.
Sure.
We'll be back anytime.
Alex, have a great run in King for a Day.
Thank you very much.
At Glimmerglass.
Everybody come see it.
You can learn more about the Glimmerglass Festival by going to glimmerglass.org, glimmerglass.org. Karin's website is Karin Guilfrey, GILFRY.com. Alex's is alexlawrencebaritone.com. Alex and Karin, thank you very much for coming in today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.